Okay. I don't know if any of you saw on Fox News, which I just caught it in passing. Are you familiar with the name Rebecca Gregory? Does that ring a bell? Rebecca Gregory, anybody? Rebecca Gregory is a lady, a young lady, that was 3 foot from one of the bombs that went off at the Boston bombing. She's written a book, and it's called Taking My Life Back. It was interesting, some of the things that she had to say yesterday when I was watching. She's a beautiful, beautiful young lady, children. The question was asked something like, are you bitter? Are you bitter because of what happened? Are you bitter at the bombers? Are you angry? And she said, I'm learning not to hold my anger and bitterness. She said, if you hold on to anger and bitterness, it's hard to move on in life. It's a true statement. If you cannot be forgiving and you cannot see any other perspective while you are in the midst of some sort of test or trial or difficulty, you will have a difficult time, as will I, making sense, hopeful sense of what you are going through and what is happening in your life. And you will be eaten up, so to speak, by your bitterness and by your anger. And then she said this, God has a bigger plan for my life. And then I knew where her perspective was coming from. And how many times have we talked about perspective in the last, we all know about this. Things don't happen to us without coming through some very significant hands first. Hands other than yours and mine. And if that is not the controlling perspective of our life daily, when things happen and come up as a surprise, we will not be able to move on. We will not be able to see the victory through the crosses that God is bringing into our lives. God has a bigger plan. I thought that was an interesting statement for a lady who lost a leg. And yet her son was barely touched standing beside her during that bombing. Isn't that interesting? So look for a book by her. Rebecca Gregory is Taking Back My Life. I'm anxious to read that book myself. Now, something else I said I would re-mention again is last week I kind of semi-set a challenge out there to everybody because I would like to begin to use the things that God is doing in your lives as an encouragement to all of us. So I would love to see, and I'm challenging you, to put something down handwritten on paper, in an email, but drop it to me. And you can put your name on it. You don't have to put your name on it, actually, but send it to me. And from time to time, I would like to use them together as in its means of encouragement. What God is teaching you through the things that He is taking you through in your life. Somebody came up to me this morning and said, I'm going to get you an email. And it's somebody I know that we would all appreciate hearing from because they have been through a lot. And all of you have a story to tell, right? All of you. So why not? There is something about sharing your tensions or your struggles with your family, your spiritual family. So that's my challenge. If you need a phone number or you need an email, please forward them or let, send me a note. Send a note through the email, through Lori's email or whatever. Father, we trust in your strength today, and we trust in your grace and your wisdom. Teach us through your Spirit. Amen. Amber and I and Lori were speaking on the way in this morning, and she made a comment which I thought was, I've had that thought in my life at times. And it was regarding the one of her assignments, I believe, and she was having to do a paper for school, and it surprised her all of the different ways that people interpret certain passages of Scripture. And I said, yeah, that's life, you know. You know, I remember going through seminary and going through college, but especially through seminary, we would be honing in on a certain passage of Scripture, and there would be hundreds of different, interpretations, what people thought a certain passage meant. Well, who do you believe? That's the question. Don't believe me. I am not the source of truth. This book is the source of truth. This is where our wisdom comes from. We are intended to have a relationship with our Father. And one of the main sources is this book. So I also believe that the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the discernment that come from this book are what enable us to properly question things that we hear. A gentleman that I respect very highly, who was a pastor for over 50 years in another state, recently died. And I remember the last year, one of the things he said from the pulpit was, don't trust me. I am not your source of truth. And what he was saying was, look, I'm trying my best to understand and know Scripture like you are. We must encourage each other on to know the truth. And to know the book and to know the God behind this book. Not just memorize it, but understand there's an intended relationship behind the words of truth in this book. We hear a lot of things. You hear a lot of interpretations. But what is it that we are to listen to and to understand as the correct answers? And that's kind of where Titus was. In the book of Titus, we've come to a section in verses 10 through 16 that I've called the Elder's Challenge. It's called the Elder's Challenge. And there's a list of things that we're going to learn about men who were rebellious, who were teachers. In this section, that were creating issues, creating firestorms, I'll call it, because of how they were conveying being delivered or saved to the people of Crete. And it was conflicting with what Paul was teaching and what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught and what Titus was to teach and what Timothy was being instructed to teach. And basically, the conflict involved holding on to the Jewish law, the traditions, the ceremonial cleansings, the legalism. Jesus, yep, he's a good man, for sure. But you need to have the law, too. You need to make sure that you're participating appropriately in the appropriate cleansing necessary under the Jewish religious ceremonies to really be saved, to truly be redeemed. And it was ripping people apart. It was upsetting families. And that, in a sense, is why I started the way I did today, because if we are not buried in this book, and we don't study the book, and our goal is not to really know God and to know His intent and to understand truth, we will be upset as well. We will be unstable, double-minded in many ways. This week, I was looking at just a lot of things in my studies. But I was concerned mainly about the vicarious suffering of Christ. And you all probably know what the vicarious suffering of Christ is. But it is a tremendously debated issue. It's where somebody died in the place of someone else. It's vicarious. Substitute. Christ died in our place to redeem us. So I looked up vicarious, and every once in a while I'll just type a word in the computer. And I did this. And you know, it was interesting, it came up, and I'm going to read this. It's not long. From 1990 to 1994, I was a Pentecostal evangelist from a very fundamentalist, literalist church. It's a big line. At the time, I believed I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and in those days I lived, ate, and slept the gospel for those 4 years. During the week, I was in church on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. On Saturday and Sunday, I was usually on one of two Brooklyn, New York street corners, preaching the gospel with my partner in the ministry. I believed I walked and talked with Jesus in those days, every minute of every hour. Now, I'm not done. But if you are not already asking questions in your mind about this statement being said, then there has to be a question of discernment that should be coming to mind. Now, I'll read on. My specialty was exorcisms. All right, does a question come up now? AKA, as a deliverance ministry. And I'm beginning to wonder, what in the world? I believed I walked and talked with Jesus in those days, every minute of every hour. I was as fanatically entrenched in my beliefs as anyone could possibly be. Fanatically entrenched? Seriously? I have been an atheist since 1994, when I abandoned my church and my former beliefs. But it was not easy, and no one was able to get me to the realization that my beliefs were false and my experiences a delusion. It took my reading the Bible in its entirety to realize that the God of the Bible was not worthy of worship and was not love. I saw more morality in myself than I did in the biblical monster. Now, so not sure who the God was that he claims that he walked and talked with for those years. But that is the attack and the onslaught and the evil and the hatred that the enemy is promoting against Christ and against his church and against his people. Are we prepared in our hearts to realize it's not true, because the God you and I know is real. He is true. He is great. He works personally and corporately and nationally with his people. And he is working out his plan, and many, 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 many times over and over, we have seen him work and fulfill his prophecy and complete what he has said he will do. Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That is our challenge. So the challenges were the same at this church. The challenge was from Paul to Titus. Titus, there are many, many rebellious men. Many of them. Present, active, indicative. The point is, there are so many actively involved in challenging the person and work of Christ through God's grace. And you know, I was thinking, it's amazing to me, something so gracious and so merciful and so glorious and wonderful, known by so few and realized by so few, and yet so willing to say they want nothing to do with him, can only be a hard heart, a heart that is not chosen and known by God. Because I will tell you this, when God touches your heart, you know change happens. You know something new has set about in your mind and in your life. There is a difference. And even though you struggle in daily life and you continue to deal with your own fleshly nature, we all do, and our inadequacies and our fleshly weaknesses, whether it's emotional or physical or whatever, something has happened inside of you and me that has given you a hope and a joy and a peace that no one can take. And the more we read about our God and what he is doing in his people, the more we appreciate and value and grow and become confident of what God is doing. And that is another reason why it is important and good for us to encourage each other. He's real, folks. And what he's doing is real. Just look, listen. We're so caught up in politics right now. How many of you realized that there was a second strike in Syria? The Jews asked the Muslims to clear the Temple Mount so that they could worship the Passover tomorrow. Did you know that? Syria threatens to fire Scud missiles into Israel. Did you know that happened this past week? Or the threat was announced? Did you know that? Did you know that Moscow surprisingly says West Jerusalem is Israel's capital? And you think, What's amazing about that statement is, listen, no other country in the world recognizes any part of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Did you know that? That is phenomenal. Where is the heart of God? It is alive and it is at work in his people, in the nation of Israel, and his people sitting right here. Isn't that amazing? Russia, this week. We are so enamored sometimes with life and the little ditty stuff that we go through day by day. Listen, it's all important. But what God is doing is great. He is working out his plan. Amazing. There's another list of 10 things here yet. But we already have to do communion. Rebellious men. Let me just look at three words. They're rebellious. Do you know what that word means, rebellious? You know what the Greek says? It's a military term. These men are not willing to fall in line. They're not willing to fall in line. Fall in line with what? The new teaching of Christ. The hope of glory. Man, I'm sorry, I just can't. Are you sure there's not some part of the law that we're supposed to be holding on to? Something. I got to do something. Do you know every time we say that, we try to take a little glory from the Savior? You know that? Rebellious. Rebellious. The second word is empty talkers in verse 10a. Empty talkers. What's amazing is these religious people, these teachers, and these may have been teachers, they may have been converts, but have been so clouded with the Jewish legalistic law emphasis that they're having a hard time accepting grace and law, and they're torn. They just can't let it go. Empty talkers. Empty because that what they're trying to include has no value anymore. Void of truth. It's really not legit, folks, what you're trying to hold on to. Let it go. That's in a movie. That's in a Disney movie. Let it go, right? Let it go. Let it go. Sorry. You would think my kids are still little. It's the only occurrence in the Bible for this word, empty talkers. Void of truth. It almost has reference to an idol. And it's into that interesting that as much... You think about it. Now just think, step back and think about this. Here Israel is communing with a living God in the Old Testament. A living God. They move into their land, they disperse out, and God has said all along, even before they got into the land, look, don't absorb the peoples amongst yourselves, because what's going to happen, they're going to take your hearts toward their gods and you will worship them. They will distract you. And guess what? Guess what happened? But you know what's amazing? They worshiped the creation rather than the what? The Creator. Idols made with men's hands. Can't talk, cut out of a tree. And yet that's what they were carving and setting up on their mantles and their homes. The Israel who had a living God who just spent 40 years taking them through a desert of struggle and testing and trial to over and over show them, rest in me. Rest in me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the things you just teach us through your word over and over again. Make us genuine, Father. Make us really love you from a sincere and a pure heart. Thank you that our purity is not based on our actions, but it's based on your faithfulness in your Son on the cross. And help us to remember that now, even now, Father, as we have communion. We owe everything to you, Father. We take no credit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I guess if anybody has to leave, we can take a minute. You can leave. Before the men come forward, I was thinking about what Christ, you know, what he must have went through. And the Gospels record, at least Matthew, Mark, and Luke record, you know, the Lord's Supper, which Paul reiterates in 1 Corinthians 11. But he records the story in the upper room. And I just would like to read a portion of it. Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. And they said to him, where? And he said, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished room up there. Prepare the meal there. And they left and they found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined and the apostles were with him, now in the upper room. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, I don't know about you, but he was just about ready to undergo incredible suffering. So keep this in the context as we go down through this passage. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup, given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken bread, given thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup in the same way he had eaten. This is the cup which is poured out for you as the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one delivering me over or betraying me, amazing, is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. As God planned it. Exactly as God planned him to suffer. Man didn't have his hand in this. God did it. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss amongst themselves which one of them might it be who was going to deliver him over or betray him. Now listen to this next verse. And this is, and there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them would be regarded as the greatest. You want a picture of the flesh that we have? He is about to die, and we just can't stop thinking about ourselves. I just stopped right there. Say no more. That's what this is about. This whole thing of communion. 1 Corinthians 11. In 1 Corinthians 10, listen to this. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but that of his neighbor. In 11:1, Paul says, I praise you because. And then in 1 Corinthians 11:17, he says, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. And do you know why? Do you ever think about why that was the case? That it was, when they came together, it was for the worse and not the better? Guess whose desires the people were seeking? Their own. I do not praise you because you come together not for the better but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And you know, I believe that. That's going to be the case. You have mixed peoples there. For there must also be factions among you so that those who are approved may become evident. Interesting statement. Therefore, when you meet together, you're not meeting together to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. You're not meeting to share your meal. You're meeting for your own selfish, glorious reasons to satisfy your appetites. Therefore, What, do you think that you have houses? Don't you have houses in which you could eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing at the same time? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? I just can't. The whole point of why you're meeting is look at what Christ has done. The bottom line of what he has done is he has given everything himself. And you just can't even meet together to share a portion. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." All the people can remember when you meet together is the fact that, look, so-and-so is drunk, so-and-so is, I'm hungry. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So the men can come forward. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you for the unselfishness and the humility with which you went to the cross in our place. It is good to know, Father, that you were perfect in every aspect of your character. Hard for us to grapple with that. Thank you that even while you were being betrayed, it never set you on a different course, Father, because of anger or because of revenge or resentment. Thank you that you died in our place. Your body was distributed for us when we could not give of ourselves. We commend this to you. And we glorify you, and we will certainly truly remember this all of our days, that you continue to keep us here. In your name, amen.